Welcome to Out of the Blank.
Welcome to another episode of Out of the Blank Podcast. I'm here with Peter. Peter, for everyone out there listening who might not know who you are, can you please tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Thank you. So my name is Peter Myers, and I'm an attorney. I've done a number of things as an attorney. Just to give you a kind of a very brief overview, when I started out, I was a social activist. I was involved in lawsuits against the federal agencies and the federal government to try to change the situation. I think my most important case was a case that I won before the United States Supreme Court called the Scrap Case, which involved standing. Who can bring suit to challenge federal government actions? And this case, the Supreme Court said that five law students who wanted to protect the environment could challenge a rate increase that the railroads were charging to ship recyclable materials. So, you know, it's a very broad principle, high watermark of who can sue the government. That was one thing I did in those years. I also was involved in a case with the Federal Trade Commission, which created a new remedy for deceptive advertising, what we call corrective advertising. I was also involved in a lawsuit in those years involving the Supreme Court of Alaska, in which the court said that an adult had a constitutional right of privacy to smoke or use marijuana in the privacy of the home. So that was really my first career as a kind of a what I call a legal activist. Then I switched hats. I became a criminal defense attorney and was representing around the country in federal and state courts, criminal defendants charged with serious crimes, murder and other things, and, you know, working to protect their constitutional rights, illegal search and seizure and other police abuses, focusing on that. Then I switched hats again and I became a law professor. I went to George Washington University Law School, in which I first directed a clinic involving criminal appeals. I would supervise students who were representing defendants who were appealing convictions. And then I moved from that to what we call at the GW Law School, the Vaccine Injury Litigation Clinic, in which I again represented students, represented individuals who were believed they had been injured by vaccinations, and the law students under my supervision would represent them in these cases and try to get compensation, you know, because we know that vaccines are safe and effective for the overwhelming majority of people, but there are always a few people who will be injured by them, and we need to assure that they get, you know, proper protection and compensation. I retired from that about 6 years ago, and now I'm a professor emeritus at law. I do a couple of things. I still teach one class in drugs and the law at GW Law School, which we involve the students with mock trials on important drug issues, or they present papers on important drug issues. That's one thing I do. I also teach in the forensic psychiatry programs of George Washington University Hospital and St. Elizabeth's Hospital, teaching psychiatrists who want to testify in court what's the right way to do it. And finally, what I do is I also continue to represent some criminal defendants. And in the last couple of months, I've been successful in getting released from prison two men who committed serious crimes over 20 years ago. So they've been in prison for 20 years. And the courts in both these cases said, you know, you should be released under these new legislation, which has been passed to release people who commit crimes as young offenders and have served many years in jail to give them a second chance at life. So I do that. I'm also married to two wonderful women. The first was a Chinese American activist who is the director of the Organization of Chinese Americans who fought against Asian American violence, still a big problem today. And then she passed away several years ago, and I've married a second wonderful woman who was for many years a prominent Wall Street lawyer, who then retired, went back, got a master's and PhD in literature, and now teaches a variety of classes, including disability law, the law of war. And I'm lucky enough to have a wonderful son who's also a lawyer at the U.S. Department of Transportation. So in a nutshell, that's been my life.
You do a lot. You do a lot. That's a lot to take in. So I think I reached out to you about the vaccine topic originally, but there's so much to talk about. Now, with the drug case for the people that were in prison for 20 something years. Now, is that because with the policy changes, it's much like how they don't really go back for, like, if someone's in maybe on a charge on marijuana, they're still in prison, even though the kind of the legalization aspect to it now seems like you might as well just get a fine. You really don't get jail time as severe as it did maybe when they were arrested or when they were reported in.
Oh, there's been a sea change in our attitude towards marijuana and drugs in general. You know, when I was graduating from law school back in 1971, it was the height of the war on drugs. And America's attitude was, we have a drug problem. What do we do about it? Let's throw them all in jail. And we've created a major problem of, you know, people in jail for either possession or small scale distribution, serving many, many years in prison. It was just not the right way to deal with our serious drug abuse problem. I mean, everybody agrees that America has a serious drug abuse problem. Look at the opioid overdose. Look at so many other things. Everybody agrees that we have a serious drug abuse problem. But what do you do about it? And the old philosophy of throw them in jail, give them mandatory minimums, people are more and more recognizing that that's the wrong way to go. You know, if people who have drug problems, and many people do, should be treated as medical problems, give them a therapy, give them assistance to deal with their drug problem rather than throw them in jail. So this is changing, thankfully, and we're dealing with a way over incarceration of for all crimes, not just drugs in America. That's one aspect. Another is we're adopting new attitudes towards marijuana. You know, many states have legalized it for medical use or non-medical recreational use. We're lowering the penalties. We're adopting a more sensible attitude. Now, that's not to say marijuana is harmless, because it's not. You know, there are many people who have serious substance abuse problems with marijuana. It's not harmless. But on the other hand, you know, most people use it without a serious problems. And, you know, in America, our philosophy is freedom. Let people do what they want to do if it doesn't harm others. So we're adopting, you know, a new and better attitude towards marijuana, and also people on hard drugs who have serious drug problems, let's not throw them in jail for 20 years. Let's get them into therapy to deal with medical, not criminal problems.
So I agree with you 100% too. It's actually the same theme of the topic as an aspect of there are some adverse effects for some people, but for the majority it works. And to get to the main topic, which just I want to state my opinion out there first. Now, I'm not anti-vax at all. I'm not. But the fact that you can't find anything about this one that a lot of people are being forced into, I want to get your thoughts on vaccines and not vaccines in general, but who do you represent? Are you representing currently older like vaccines? Are you representing newer ones like the ones that's going on right now during this pandemic? Saying any of this is going to not, this video will not be on YouTube. It's going to strictly be on Spotify because YouTube won't even let you talk about the vaccine, which I have an issue with. I think this really boils down to, I have a real issue with mandates when it comes to forcing someone to take something when they're just pushing you towards one direction. It was like that with marijuana. They pushed you basically into jail only on an aspect of there weren't any trials or studies or anything being conducted on it, which we've learned from that. Now it's being done now. Now with the vaccine, for instance, there's a lot of people that have come out with adverse effects to it. I know plenty of people who've gotten two shots and will not get a third. They refuse. They feel worse from it. I don't know what your experience is, what your thoughts are. Like I said before, I have to preface it with I'm not anti-vax at all. I think vaccines definitely work. But I think with this one, I don't like the ability that someone has to feel like they're going to lose their job. And there's this kind of social stigma to it, where if you don't get it, you're a horrible human being. And I don't necessarily think that's the case, because I don't think people understand that there are plenty of cases out there where people have had adverse effects. I just saw a woman, she did a billboard for her son who died from getting the vaccine. Like, it was only a couple days later. Now I realize with this type of topic, it does boil down to deeper ones. I've came across people that says like vaccines cause autism. I don't know the whole specifics on that one. I'm not really too focused in on that one. I just want to get your work and your thoughts on the vaccines or the people that you represent and the ideas that you represent behind it, so I can get a better kind of understanding. Mostly because anytime you try and Google anything about vaccines, you don't really get anything but the ones to go get or where to get them. You don't ever see the other side of it. And that's when I start being curious. When you have one-sided information, I think it's distorted by the public. And it seems like there's something bigger at play. Maybe it's money, probably money. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, these are very important issues. People do have different perspectives on them, and there's a number of different issues here. So let's talk first about, do vaccines injure people? That's one question. And, you know, we have a lot of information about that, both for the old childhood vaccines, the things which, you know, we can remember getting, the DBT shot, the MMR shot, the annual flu vaccines, and then the new COVID vaccines, which we know a lot about, but not as much because they haven't been around as long. So I think your listeners should understand a couple of basic principles. First, nothing is ever 100% safe for everybody. Whatever medicines people take, whatever we put into our bodies, you know, even though it may be helpful for the great, great majority of people, there will always be some people who have a serious adverse reaction. For example, hundreds of people die in America from adverse reactions to aspirin every year. You know, so there's nothing which is 100% safe for everybody. And there will always be, whatever it is, a medicine, a drug, a vaccine, there will always be a small number of people who will suffer a serious adverse reaction to it. And we can't deny that. It's being safe doesn't mean it's safe for 100% of the people, but we have a lot of evidence which says that vaccines have been one of the great public health successes in the last 100 years. They've eliminated polio. They've eliminated smallpox, diseases which used to ravage America and cause thousands and thousands of serious injuries and death. They're not there anymore. Does anybody worry today about getting smallpox or about getting polio? We've eliminated these dreaded diseases by giving vaccinations. So vaccines, by and large, have been shown to be safe and effective for the great, great majority of the people. But as I say, like anything, there will be a small number of people, we don't know who they'll be until it happens, but who will suffer serious adverse effects for either the childhood vaccines as well as the COVID vaccines. But I think if you weigh what are the risks and the benefits, in my mind, the benefits far, far outweigh the risks. I mean, by having vaccinations, we're protecting Americans from getting COVID. If they get COVID, it's a much more mild disease. I'm old enough, over 65, that not only have I gotten my two COVID shots, but I've gotten one and then two boosters. And I've had no adverse effects from that. And 99% of the people will not have adverse effects. You know, we've given out hundreds of millions of COVID shots in America. And yes, there have been thousands of people who've had adverse reactions, but look at the percentages. We're protecting America. We're trying to fight this disease. And less than 1% are having serious adverse reactions. We shouldn't deny it. But what we should do is to say to those people, listen, it's important that you get vaccinated, and 99% chance you'll just get protection. You'll protect yourself, your family, and America. But if you're in that 1% who has a serious adverse reaction, we want to make sure that we're going to protect you. We're going to compensate you for any injury you've suffered, pay for your medical expenses, pay for any lost income you may have. So it seems to me that's the balance which we're trying to do. I would strongly urge people to get their COVID vaccines on the basis that from what we know today, the great, great majority of people will just benefit from them. And that I think I perhaps have a slightly different view than you have on the mandates. You know, as a general matter, I don't like the government ordering me to do anything. I mean, that's what America means, freedom. You know, if you want to drive a motorcycle, if you want to skydive, if you want to do things which may be dangerous, you should have the right to do that if you're not harming other people. But so that, I think, is a fundamental principle of America, which I love about America, as opposed to other countries who kind of see the citizens are there to serve the state. That's not America. America is the state is there to protect our freedoms. And that's the freedom to do what we want and not to be force us to do things. But I would make an exception to that for vaccines because it's a public health issue. It's just like the childhood vaccines. Who's complaining today that if you want to send your child to school, every state says your child must get certain vaccinations, DBT, MMR, to protect the other students. So that if you're going to be in a school or a daycare center, you know, I think it's right to say, as every state does, making some exceptions for religious exception and for medical exception. You know, so in other words, if you have a sincere religious belief like the Mennonites do and other groups in America do against vaccination, we should respect those religious views. If you have a medical condition, which would put you in high risk if you get vaccinated, people with compromised immune systems, et cetera, we have to make an exception for them, I believe. So mandatory vaccinations, there should be two exceptions, and the law requires it for sincere medical problems and sincere religious beliefs. But if you don't have one of those two, I think it's right to mandate COVID vaccines to protect everybody you'll come in contact with. That's how we're going to beat these illnesses, just like we did with polio and smallpox. Yeah, we required people to get vaccinated.
That's not what this is, though. The COVID vaccine isn't that at all. I'm not vaccinated for COVID at all, but I got COVID from someone who is double vaxxed and boosted. It doesn't make sense to use it as an idea to protect someone else. And the issue
Robbie, the key is that not everybody has to be vaccinated. Then again, the story is think of polio, think of smallpox.
You can't relate it to those two, though, because this one you can still get COVID. Polio was to eliminate. If anything, this is a gene therapy. If anything, they changed the definition of vaccine where you start to question it. Like I said, I'm not anti-vax. I think the other vaccines work. But this issue is this one has been proven to not be effective in doing its job. They've went back on the whole issue of saying, if you get your shot, you're not going to get COVID. Well, they went back on that. There's a lot of really skeptical ground here where a lot of people like myself, and I think the majority of the world now is starting to notice the issues with these vaccines is that they don't work like they were originally reported saying that they were work. Now, you can have leniency like I do where it comes to you're going to have more cases of people suffering side effects because you're vaccinating a vast majority of population. The issue is that they're making that your only option. And then they're also setting up guidelines with it when it comes to social restrictions. Now, I'm not pro the government doing anything into my life that is forcing me to do anything. But the issue starts to become is, if I got the shot and something did happen, why can't I sue the medical corporations like Pfizer or all these people that give me the shot? Instead, they put the blame on the doctors. They let the doctors be liable to be sued, but you can't sue the giant insurance companies where anyone with an open mind or idea can just sit there and start to question. Like I said, you can't really relate these to a polio. You can't relate these to any of these because there are 63,800 deaths from the vaccines. Now, that's going to happen, like I said, with a large majority of people being vaccinated, but you still get COVID if you have the vaccine. They stopped reporting the number of infection rates, non-COVID to COVID on the news now. It's all about Russia. They switched the whole narrative on it. That's where I start to question. I start to wonder, what happens if someone gets the shot? Or why did they ban certain treatments? What happens if someone gets the shot and they're looking for compensation? Are there people out there that are able to do anything about it, considering that they said that you cannot sue these insurance companies? Is there someone else they sue? Where do they go? I'm not saying like, yeah, if you want to get vaccinated, you feel comfortable getting vaccinated, go ahead. But making that mandated for every single person, even people who are really not feeling comfortable doing so, the number of researcher data just isn't there yet. It's only been a couple of years. I get it. It's going to come with time. So we can only look what the amount of time is there. But I feel like we're making a large jumps in decisions and basing it off of a wide scale. And you say herd immunity. I have natural immunity. I got it from someone who was vaccine boosted and all that, but I still got over it. I had one bad day. I take care of myself. Now, for the majority of the public, it's not going to be that. I'm not debating you here. I'm just saying these are things we should be aware of in this type of situations. These are issues where a lot of people are having complications with this type of thing. There's myocarditis issues that go around with it. I'm just saying at these scenarios that people are dealing with where they're suffering from something, maybe a side effect or some type of thing from the vaccine, and they're a young kid or if they're something like this, what do they do? Like, who's going to help them out? Is it kind of just like you're screwed? My idea from what I've heard has been that they've said you cannot sue the vaccine companies. You can't do any of that. I'm like, well, where's their safety net? What's going to happen if they have to spend the rest of their life in bed or something like that? Like, they should be compensated for those things if they can't live their life anymore. But saying that you're not going to be able to sue the companies, even though you're mandated to get a shot, scares the hell out of me. Because then what is that person going to do? I mean, are they going to be able to say to the government or whatever, I need money for disability because of a factor of I can't because of this certain shot? Their whole life has gone down the drain. I care for that person. Maybe they wanted to. It doesn't matter if they were 100% like, you're going to get your shot and you're going to like it to everyone else that they met. But if they suffered a side effect, they need help. They need something. And I don't. When they say you can't sue these corporations, I'm going to keep going back to that. That's an issue to me because this isn't like that anymore. This isn't like the polio. This isn't like any of these vaccines. It was sales pitched in the original way, but I've talked to a lot of people, even people that are so like, you better get your shot. And they're like, I don't feel comfortable anymore. Like a third and a fourth every 6 months. It's like, you're starting to see the money layers start to peel through a little bit. And I'm not saying anti-corporation or government. I'm not like that at all. I'm a patriot at heart, but I also put the people's like kind of them in front of everything. And that's me included in that as well too. So selfishly, yes, I would say I'm included in that. There's a lot of issues going on where you can't Google vaccine deaths. You can't do any of this. You can't even talk about it on YouTube or they flag you. Censorship in so many aspects. I've seen so many GoFundMes for vaccine people with side effects where they're like, I need help, but they have to rely on other people that are yelling at them if they're not wearing a mask or if they're not getting vaccinated. I'm 100% in support of making sure that nobody gets COVID and all this type of stuff. But I don't think we're doing it in the proper way. We're creating a lot of fighting where people are just giving up on everything, not just on like life shit, but just caring about other people's empathy or all these other factors. We saw this in the beginning of the pandemic. People really cared. Now we're at this standpoint now where people, if you say, go put on your mask or something like that, you get a middle finger to your face. You get all this type of stuff because people don't want to hear it anymore. They were lied to in the beginning, whether that was just a pact of information or general consensus to get people boosted, but they also did this with the N95 masks. Now, I'm not saying it's a grand conspiracy, like all the governments, all this. I just don't think that they really spent the time looking at other options of treatment and all these things. And they focused on one thing, which was getting everyone vaccinated to help with herd immunity. Then they changed when the variants came. Well, we're on 4 variants almost, I think now. And we're on almost 4 shots. There's starting to be studies now from scientists that I've talked to on the show, popular ones might be controversial, that have said that they're starting to look into the fact that these vaccines might have caused variants. Now, I don't know what that is, but anybody that studies vaccines or know what it is, it's a small dumbed down version of that original virus to go into your body. Okay. Whether that was alive, whatever you want to say with this vaccine, that's something that I feel like should be talked about, should be understood more, but it's not. That's all I am. I'm pro information. I just want to know everything, whether you got hidden, whatever ideas or motives, I don't care. But I feel like you should come to the table with all the information. Like, here's what we know. Here's what we don't know. You got to have these types of discussions, and it's not being done. And my heart goes out to the people that are really suffering from these types of things, because I didn't want to bring people on the show to explain their stories about this type of stuff, because then you get categorized as such. But I don't think that should be the thing. I think you need to hear all aspects. There's issues with the polio vaccine I've heard about. But it worked for most of the people. We don't have polio, but that's not with COVID. We have COVID. There are shots for it. Israel is suffering and they're on their fourth. That's not a vaccine. That's something else to me. So I just don't think that argument works.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and there's a number of things which you're addressing. So let me just respond to a couple of them, and please feel free to jump in. I think polio is a great example of this, because using vaccines, we've taken what was a dreaded disease in the 1950s and 60s and virtually eliminated it. But as you say, there were a handful of people who had serious adverse reactions to the polio vaccine. So, you know, it wasn't 100% safe, but it prevented millions of people from having serious injury and death or being in an iron lung for their whole lives. But there were a handful of people who had a serious adverse reaction to it. So that is just the story of vaccines or any medicine. I think it is not right to say that the COVID vaccines are more dangerous, because if you look at the polio vaccines or the childhood vaccines, typically these vaccines are the virus itself, which has either been killed and then given to people in the vaccine, or substantially weakened and given to them in the vaccine. Now, that poses some danger of people with immune systems. Even if you get a weakened version of the polio, you can get polio from that. And so a few people did. But the COVID vaccines are a new, and from the evidence we have so far, much safer, because we're not giving people in the COVID vaccines, any of the versions that are being used, the COVID virus. We're using some segment of their DNA. So nobody's going to get COVID from getting the vaccines. I think the evidence we have so far is they're much safer. Now, I said earlier that I spent more than a decade of my life at GW Law School. Well, I don't do it anymore, but I've retired, but representing people who've been injured by vaccinations and ensuring that we give them appropriate compensation for their pain and suffering, for their lost income, for their medical expenses. So yes, this does happen, but look at COVID. If you look at the statistics, over 100,000 Americans have died from COVID. Millions of Americans have had serious and permanent illnesses or long-lasting illnesses after getting COVID. It's been ravaging America. And yes, there have been a few individuals who suffered serious adverse reactions. But if you weigh the people who've been harmed by COVID versus the people who have been harmed by the vaccination, the scales aren't even close. The much greater damage. And even if, again, not everybody's going to be protected from COVID by being vaccinated, because vaccines are not 100% reliable. We know for a fact that 95%. So if you give 1 million or 100 million doses, 5% of those people will not get protection, because no vaccine is effective for 100% of the time. So that's one aspect. But we do know, and we have good evidence so far. And again, we're in the early years of COVID. We'll know a lot more about it 5-10 years, but we can't wait. That people who are vaccinated, even if they get COVID, will have a much less severe reaction as a result. They will not suffer, you know, possible death or long-term injuries. So I think the evidence we have so far is overwhelming that the benefit from these vaccines far outweighs the risk. Now, as you also say, why can't we sue the manufacturers? Well, this is a kind of a sweetheart deal they've worked out, both for the COVID vaccines as well as the childhood vaccines. If you think you've been injured by them, you can't sue the manufacturers. This is a law Congress passed. You can't sue the doctors. You can't sue anybody. Your only remedy, unless you can allege willful misconduct, and nobody's successfully done that so far, willful misconduct by the vaccine manufacturers, unless you can show that, your only remedy is to go into these federal compensation programs. The compensation program for the childhood vaccines is pretty good. They've paid 75% of the claims that have been filed for it. It's in a court called the U.S. Court of Federal Claims. And that's what I did as a law professor. I was bringing these cases representing children and adults who were injured by the childhood vaccines or the annual flu vaccines and getting them compensation for lost income, pain and suffering, medical expenses. And it's not the best system, you know, because the manufacturers are protected. But that's what Congress said. We want to encourage people to manufacture the vaccines. And one of the ways we'll do that is to give the manufacturers virtual 100% immunity. You can't sue them. You got to go into these compensation programs, which are the one for the childhood vaccine, which I dealt with for many years, is a very good program. It's not perfect, but it was paying 75% of the claims. The COVID compensation program, which is a very different one, which is in the Department of Health and Human Services, I think is a lousy program, which really Congress needs to look at and change and improve, because that's only, they haven't paid one claim for COVID injuries so far. There've been 3,000 claims for the vaccine filed so far out of 100 million vaccines which have been given. 3,000 claims have been filed for injury or death. So look at those numbers, hundreds of millions of vaccinations, 3,000 claims, but they haven't paid a single one of them.
Well, I could pull up 50,000.
It needs to be improved.
I could pull up probably way more than that GoFundMes. I just don't think people understand that there's a vaccination program that they can go to. I think
you're right. That's one of the reasons it's such a lousy program that they're not even trying to get compensated. But I think if you look at the numbers that have been reported for serious adverse effects, and there have been that, you know, look at the hundreds of millions of people who've been protected by it and won't suffer death or serious injury from getting COVID. Not everybody does, you know, like yourself. Many people get COVID. It's mild. They get over it and they have some sort of immunity from it. But and that will work for things like chickenpox, but it doesn't work for, I don't believe, for things like smallpox or polio or even COVID. I think it's important to protect yourself, your family, and America by having enough people vaccinated that we're trying to defeat this disease.
I think it was a couple months ago, not even a couple months ago, probably 5 months ago, they said 47% of the population was vaccinated. Now, after 4 or 5 months or 6 months, however long ago, when they said that on CNN, you would think that the scales would have shifted to more people being vaccinated now. So then you still wonder why there's still a number of vaccination cases. My issue starts to be when the Wall Street Journal just last week put up something saying anti-vaxxer dies of COVID. Then I click into the article. The person had two shots. What are we considering anti-vax? That's the issue, is that there's a page called Sorry Anti-Vaxxers, which is kind of like a making fun or saying you should have got your shot type articles. And they post up things about paramedics and doctors who are anti-vax that got the COVID and died. And you click into their thing, they got two shots. They didn't get a booster, they got two. But then we go, what are we considering anti-vax? Like, is it someone that's just 100% like, I'm never going to get a shot and drinks a beer and smokes a cigarette? No, I'm not like that. I don't like that at all. But I'm a fitness person. I won't even take Tylenol. So I let my body naturally beat anything it comes up against. Sucks if, you know, I'm in the hospital, I need something. But at the same time, I'm the last person to go to a doctor for anything. I think medications and stuff work. I just think there's a large amount of misreporting on stuff as well too that we can pinpoint. But if you're telling me like a, say 3,000 cases have been brought to this vaccine thing for COVID for injury, I don't think a lot of people know that even exists. Because everyone like myself, I mean, I just heard you say it. There isn't a lot of people looking for these programs. They're looking for GoFundMes. They're writing articles out there trying to, they're putting up billboards, like I mentioned earlier about the mother and her son who put up the billboard. Now starting to get attention. Her story just got picked up by one of those news networks. I think it was, I don't know if it was Fox or not. But this is important stuff, but they're now being reported and talked about. And you've seen that the news has stopped reporting and even giving you that number tally now. Because I think it's swayed in a different side where they can't just say it's only anti-vaxxers that are getting COVID. It's vaxxers as well, too. Now, if we can say, give it leniency for variants, I'll 100% do that. But what about this program and what makes you skeptical when it comes to Congress saying you cannot sue the man? Like I haven't heard that sounds so weird to me. Like, is that like that with other vaccines?
Yes, the vaccines. So let's talk about the program, but let's also talk about, I'm agreeing with you that what is so essential is to get fair and accurate information to the public. And, you know, I think there's problems with the anti-vaccination movement. One of the things you mentioned way in the beginning of our discussion was autism. And that is still kicked around by some anti-vax people to say that vaccine causes autism, whereas the truth is that that was based upon an article which was published in a British medical journal, and the medical journal subsequently retracted it. They took away the license of the author of that article for malpractice for publishing this article. And there have been dozens of studies which have said, after looking at a very wide number of people, that there is no known relationship between vaccines and autism. But people are still pushing that sort of misinformation. So, you know, one of my concerns is that, you know, that's floating around on the internet, and that there's many people who believe the false claims that vaccines cause autism. And sometimes we don't know what all the things that might cause autism, but there've been many, many studies which have said to any, I think, reasonable person that there's no connection to vaccines and autism. And there's a lot of that on the internet, of people scaring people based upon not science, but scare techniques about these are what vaccines cause. I'm admitting to you that, I mean, I spent a decade at GW Law School bringing claims in a program for people who were injured by the childhood vaccines before COVID, and the people are injured by them, and we need to protect them and to give them, you know, the care and the money they need for medical expenses, lost income, pain and suffering. I totally believe in that. But on the other hand, if you look at COVID program, as I said to you, that's a separate compensation program from the annual flu and the childhood vaccines program. And it's much worse. And people don't know about it. And even if you knew about it, you know, there's real problems with it, because prior to the COVID, there was like the H1N1 vaccine and others. And that program, in my opinion, is a very lousy one. It paid out less than 10% of the claims. The theory was, we want to encourage vaccines to be manufactured. We want it, and especially for COVID, we wanted to do it quickly, and we wanted to get this out there to protect Americans. So one of the ways Congress did that was to say, listen, for the people who will be injured by it, you can't sue the manufacturer unless they've engaged in, quote, willful misconduct. Which nobody has proven that on any manufacturer. But just if they make the vaccines and they get them out there, which are free, nobody pays for COVID vaccines, the government does. And if you suffer an injury, we can't sue the manufacturer. I think we should be able to do that. But Congress thought otherwise. They said the importance of having the vaccines out there, the only way you can get compensated is to go into this federal compensation program, which, as I say, needs to be really improved. I think I've published our two articles advocating that Congress improve this compensation program for COVID so that it really can do what it's supposed to do. But that's the theory, at least, that, you know, if you make a defective product, any product, you could, if somebody's injured by it, you could sue them. but not for vaccines.
What improvements do you think that it could be incorporated into? Now, this isn't the COVID one, or is this something?
This is the COVID one.
Okay.
It's a secret proceeding. You file your compensation claim. You don't have a right to have a lawyer paid for. You don't have a right to a hearing. It's all decided in secret. And in fact, there have been, as I say, more than 3,000 claims filed for injuries or death caused by the COVID vaccine, and they haven't gotten around to pay one of them yet. They're all just sitting there. We don't know who's processing them. We don't know how they're being processed. Nobody's going to get a right to a hearing, as you can in the vaccine court for other vaccines. The vaccine court will pay for a lawyer and medical experts to help you prove your case. You can't get that in the COVID program. If you don't like the decision, if you lose in the regular vaccine court, you can appeal it to a judge. You can't appeal COVID vaccine injury claims to a court. In so many ways, it is a program that needs to be improved. And again, I've advocated for a long time now and published, again, two articles about these are the specific things you could do to improve it. But this is the compromise the federal government has adopted. You got to go into this program. And if you do, well, then we need to really improve it, like I just said.
Have they not addressed maybe paying off some of these people who are suffering from COVID adverse effects, I would say? Because if they do that, it's kind of like that person can go and say that they won this court case, and then it would produce vaccine hesitancy. Like anything that you could link that would be like, why are they doing this? Or why is this questionable? Why can't you sue this? Well, they're probably still going to end up working with the manufacturers of the vaccines on something else down the road. But there's a lot of reporting about like they didn't want to report a certain number of cases from adverse effects from vaccines, so they didn't want to promote vaccine hesitancy. And that's for me, that's like the big stopping line for me. Like, yeah, if I get like a adverse effect, I understand it. I'm not pro the mandate thing, but that weird vaccine hesitancy thing, like I don't like not having all the information about things. I don't like this kind of secret, like you're saying, secret court proceedings.
Right.
That to me, I start raising questions of like, why is it got to be so secret? And they use the example vaccine hesitancy. They don't want to promote that by showing or publicizing that, oh, there's a vaccine court case going on. I'm like, well, you would build up more trust if, because that information is going to come out. It's not going to stop. But when you say like secret, that scares me. Like I picture people in black hoods now, like, you know, gathering up and doing stuff in secret. But I get the whole perspective that they have. I just don't think it's necessarily being done in the proper methods. I think it should be
counterproductive. Well, I mean, this is something you and I totally agree upon. That and I've been critical for a long time about how the federal government is addressing this. I think you're 100% right that the federal government are making a terrible mistake by worrying about discouraging people from getting vaccinated by not talking about these cases where it looks like people have been injured. I think they're making a terrible mistake. You and I totally agree about this, that the way that the federal government should be doing this, which they're not, is to publicize that, yes, when we say the COVID vaccines are safe and effective, what we mean is that that's true for the great majority of people. But we recognize that some people will be injured by them, some seriously, and that we should do whatever we need to do to give them appropriate compensation. You and I totally agree about this. I think it's counterproductive for them not to, you know, be honest with the American people and to talk about the fact that some people are injured and to get the message out there that, that we see that, but the overwhelming majority, will just get benefit, will be protected either not getting COVID or when they do get COVID, have a much milder case of it. The benefits, I think their argument should be far outweigh the risks. But, you know, let's be candid that some people are injured, and I think they're making, just like you're saying, a great mistake, and they're hurting their case by not being more upfront and candid about that and by not improving this program. It's like a black hole. You know, you file your claim and you never know what happens and you don't know how long it will take. You don't know who's considering it. So, again, there's many problems with the program for COVID compensation, which, again, I think Congress needs to improve it. And that's our situation today. that, you know, they're hiding that rather than telling people about the program.
I think I'd be more comfortable getting the shot or getting vaccinated if there was a better safety measure in place. But like I said, once they said that you can't sue this or you can't do that, I thought that was the only thing you could do if something did go wrong. So I immediately started having kind of my questionable, I guess, ideas, or really just being very hesitant in it in general. I think that promotes vaccine hesitancy when you don't have these safety programs in place. I'm curious, with a case against the COVID injury system, what is what someone is experiencing versus what is their options or avenues, I would say, to be able to get compensation faster? Like, playing the waiting game doesn't necessarily work if you need help now. You know what I mean? During this pandemic, I feel like when a lot of people are doing on unemployment, they needed a lot of stuff and assistance now. Businesses did, and they really didn't get it, which is terrible for those businesses. But what about someone who's suffering from severe injury and is just, they got to sit and wait? Is that their only option? They can't report to a news network or media source? Like, that's horrible.
Oh, you can bring, I mean, there's nothing which would prohibit you from publicizing it, and many people have. But if you want to get compensation, you and I agree on this. One of the big, big problems is that people are not getting compensated now. This program at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, who's supposed to compensate these cases, has not compensated a single case to date. So people who've suffered are just waiting. And, you know, when will they get compensated? Will they get compensated? Again, it's like a black hole. You know, you file your claim and you don't know what's going to happen. So this, I think, is a very big problem. And for the people who have suffered injuries from it, again, not a single person has been yet compensated in this program. So there's no way to get quick. And I think this is part of the problem. We need to say to people, Congress needs to reform this program so we can say to people, as we do in the regular vaccine court for childhood vaccines, you know, if you do suffer an injury, there will be compensation for pain and suffering, lost income, medical expenses. And that program has been pretty effective. And that's not perfect, but it's paid 75% of the claims, and these cases are compensated. It's a much more flawed program that Congress created for the only option you have to seek compensation for a vaccine injury. Again, unless you can prove the manufacturer engaged in willful misconduct, nobody's proven that yet. I mean, they may have been negligent, but even that wouldn't be enough.
What's willful misconduct? Like, what would
it would be something like, let's say Johnson & Johnson knew that their vaccine caused serious injuries and they hid them from the public and from the Food and Drug Administration. I think that would be willful misconduct. If you knew that your vaccine caused serious injuries, but you hid it, I think that would be something you could sue them over as willful misconduct. But, you know, nobody's shown any of that yet. The vaccine manufacturers seem to be candid about publishing, you know, what the injuries have been shown from their vaccines.
Do you think that they're aware of it? Because they do make you, once you get your shot, wait 10, 15 minutes.
Well, that's for anaphylactic shock, because okay. There's one case which the you know, that sometimes when you get any vaccine or medicine, sometimes in a very, very rare cases, an individual will suffer a serious immediate, the body will react, you know, what they call either anaphylaxis or anaphylactic shock. But you know that within a couple of minutes. So out of a safety precaution, you know, for every vaccine, we like to stick around the doctor's office for 10, 15 minutes to see whether there'll be a reaction. Again, there's been one reported case of anaphylactic shock from the COVID vaccines, which the agency says looks like it was caused by it. But we haven't determined yet whether we're going to pay out any money to this person. So what? It's bizarre, but that, you know, but one out of 100 million, hundreds of millions of shots. So it's extremely rare, but this is just to be cautious that you be there at the hospital, because there's medications they can give you right away to counteract your anaphylactic shock if you get it.
Yeah, but if you stub your toe at work, you get workers' comp in a sense. So I'm just curious to why they would say like, oh, we're not going to pay anything out yet, even though they've proven that it did happen because of that. Like, to me, that just doesn't make sense. Like, I don't think that's an all money issue. I just don't understand the publicity, I guess, angle that there might be coming from on that aspect of things. I mean, whether it did and you prove it is one thing. Like, I understand the proving process. But if you've proved that it does or it did do that to that person should be rightfully paid for doing what they were told to go do, correct? Like, I'm not wrong in saying that.
Oh, you and I agree 100%. And I'm as critical of this aspect as you are, that they've said, again, this is, and they haven't released much information about this, but the information they've released is there's one case of anaphylactic shock immediately after the COVID vaccination, which they've determined should be compensated. And now they're spending months and months and months deciding how much compensation to pay. I think it's outrageous. You know, again, I think this program is deeply flawed. It must be really substantially improved by Congress. I've been, you know, advocating that for a long time. You and I are in 100% agreement. This is outrageous. It should not go on. If people are injured, they should get compensated and quickly and not wait forever for this.
How many cases do you represent going up against the COVID injury vaccination?
Well, none. As I say, I've retired 6 years ago from the active practice of vaccine injury representation. You know, I talk to people. I refer them to other lawyers who are bringing cases. So at the current time, I represent no vaccine cases, either for the childhood vaccine, my clinic, you know, the Vaccine Injury Litigation Clinic at GW, in which the students represent these people under the supervision of an attorney, has a new supervisor. Again, from 6 years ago when I retired, there's a new supervisor, Renee Gentry, who is, you know, bringing these cases and working with people who do believe that they or their children have suffered serious injuries from vaccines.
Is when it comes to the program, for instance, is if they decided to implement, or is a lot of this just a concept? You said that they're not doing enough, or they're not doing anything really when it comes to just being able to help out these people. Is this side of neglect? Is this just an aspect of they don't consider it a priority because there isn't a high number of people? Or is it not really just on their list of things to do? Because it seems like since everything's opened back up in a lot of places and everyone's kind of dropped the lockdowns and restrictions on things, and they've kind of considered most of the majority vaccinated populations now, I'm just curious why they haven't picked up this now that it doesn't seem like we're in peak COVID anymore. We're definitely on the drop off to the end of it, at least maybe on an aspect of COVID would probably still be around. Don't see that ever going away. But in an aspect that everything's kind of back to functioning in a way. A lot of places like Florida, a lot of places like Maryland, a lot of other places are now starting to just forget about the whole thing, depending on some locations do require masks. And there'll be a small percentage of the population that'll still want masks to wear in their car, do whatever. But it's been society always. There's always been a small amount of the population that has some anxieties or fears where they'll wear masks walking. They'll do any of these types of things and they can do whatever they want in that case. But I'm just curious as why they haven't decided to look into it or maybe add some things to be able to help people have a better process or avenue to be able to focus on getting the benefits that they are rightly entitled to.
It's a mystery to me why Congress hasn't worked to improve this program. I think it's just for what you were saying earlier, where you and I are in 100% agreement, is that this is a flawed program, and it would be much better if we could say to the American public, look, if you're one of the people, the rare people who suffer a serious injury from a COVID vaccination, we have a good program for you, which will promptly pay, you know, your medical expenses, your lost income, your pain and suffering, your injuries, we will look after you. I think that would be so much better. And why Congress hasn't done this is a bit of a mystery to me. You know, maybe they're prioritizing other things. They don't want to just get into this whole COVID injury issue. But again, you and I are in 100% agreement. This program is deeply flawed. It's not working the way it should. It must be improved. We must make it quick, open, The ability for people to get compensation. As I say, not a single person out of the 3,000 vaccine injury claims has been compensated as we talk. It's outrageous. Why Congress, even though myself and other people have prodded them to jump in and fix this, they haven't done it so far. And again, it's an urgent need so that we can say to people, listen, we're asking you to take a risk, a small risk, in my opinion, of getting vaccinated. But if you're one of the rare people who has a serious adverse reaction, we're going to look after you. We have a safety net to protect you. And we, you know, that safety net is a very poor one today. And Congress, for whatever reason, has not taken the steps to make it much better, which I think would be in everybody's interest. We could say to people, if you're one of the rare people who is injured, don't worry, we will have a program to look after you. And I don't think we have that yet today.
What do you think that would be established, or when do you think that's going to be looked into in the next year?
Maybe
the
never. Next year? I don't want to be never. Negative here. In all of these, this time when I and others have been advocating that this, there have been bills introduced, but they've gone nowhere in Congress to, you know, to make this a better program. And, you know, when I'm not sure it'll ever be approved, frankly, it's discouraging, but, you know, I and others continue to try.
Is this an oversight, like a lot of like what we talked about people in the beginning about being imprisoned for something that the laws are bound to have changed? Like, I'm hoping that these people aren't going to be waiting 10, 15 years to finally get compensation. Like, there was a recall on that drug, Shantax, I think it's called. It was an anti-smoking thing. You used to smoke this CO2 cartridge thing. It was like a pink little canister thing. It was to help you stop smoking cigarettes. Yes. Now they realize that the chemical inside that actually could have caused cancer causing chemicals in it, and they've retracted all of them, and they're trying their best, but they're dealing with lawsuits right against them right now for the whole compensation of being able for using this device for the people it did cause cancer to. So I'm just curious, at the 10 something year process that's been going on, what about like this? Like, imagine people that can't function. Is this going to be something you see getting fixed in the next year? I mean, how many people are advocating for it? I don't really see any strong voices. Like I said, not belittling yours at all. I'm just saying I don't see these being popularized on television. Everything, like I said, it happens to do with Ukraine issue or all these types of things. We're not seeing a whole lot of people given a platform to be able to speak about these compensation programs that, like I said, not many people know they're in place. I did not know that there was a compensation program for it. I knew there was some for other vaccines, but not this one. And I feel like this gives a people listening who might have something going on that they feel like they can't speak out, or they're on a GoFundMe page, they should be redirected towards.
Well, and again, for people who are, you can go to the internet and you can look up, it's called the CICP, the Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program, or CICP for short. And they've published some information about what type of claims can be filed, how to file them. So there is information out there, but I agree with you that, you know, despite myself and others advocating to improve this program, it hasn't gotten a lot of traction. There have been a couple of bills introduced in Congress which have gone nowhere. And, you know, even though we continue to try to lobby and push Congress to act, you know, so far it hasn't happened. It's, you know, it's disappointing. And, I don't see anything on the near horizon which is going to change that. And it's this unique situation. Like for other products, you know, the manufacturers are not protected. As you pointed out, smoking devices, you know, that's another related type of issue, that one of the things which have become popular, especially among young people, are these e-cigarettes in recent years, and even vaping marijuana as well. There we go. And, you know, when they were first put out, you know, the argument was these are much safer than inhaling tobacco smoke. But then now we have some evidence that for some of those products, there are chemicals in that which were causing health problems, you know. So nothing is 100% safe. And, you know, but if you think you've been injured by vaping, either e-cigarettes or marijuana, you can sue the manufacturers, but you can't do that for the vaccines in America. We've given special protection to them for potential injuries. And again, for the childhood vaccines, I think it's working pretty well. Not perfect, but that's a pretty good program. But I don't believe it's working, and Congress is not really doing very much, if anything, to improve the COVID compensation program. But that's on the net. If people, again, would look up the CICP, you can find out about the program, but it's a discouragingly poor program so far.
Why do you think that they took away that those companies being liable? Do you think it's because they did do a mass rollout of it, and it seemed the government was promoting getting this thing? So does that make them liable as well too? I don't know where the legal.
Well, these are government programs. Yes, I mean, yeah. I think it's pretty clear that Congress said, "Listen, it's so important that we get manufacturers to make the childhood vaccines and the COVID vaccine. It's so important that the manufacturers do this, that we want to encourage them. And one of the ways we can encourage them to do it is to first pay them a lot of money, and second, protect them from being liable, so that we can, as Congress say, that if anybody is injured, you can't sue the manufacturers. So it was a way of encouraging the manufacturers to make these vaccines. And that was the goal.
Yeah, but if they were able to be sued, like the manufacturers, for instance, could they sue Congress or the government also because of the fact that they did do a massive kind of rollout with it? Like, that's the only reason why I say is I don't see the government just being like, we're going to protect these companies. Either it's because they want to work with them in the future or something like that, but more on an aspect of being liable. The government is connected. Liable. Yeah, the government would be
connected.
That's
what these compensation programs are. Whether it's the Childhood Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which is in the U.S. Court of Federal Claims, or the COVID Compensation Program, which was within the Department of Health and Human Services, these are federal government compensation programs. You and I are paying for them with our taxes or by fees on the vaccines. So if these are federal government programs saying that if you think you've been injured by, or your child has been injured by one of the childhood vaccines, DBT, MMR, et cetera, then you have to, your only remedy is to go into the federal compensation program in the U.S. Court of Federal Claims. And if you believe you've been injured by the COVID vaccine, your only choice, unless you can prove willful misconduct by the manufacturer, which again, nobody has tried to show yet, your only option is to go into this taxpayer-funded compensation program. So that's the only option you have today if you think you've been injured by a vaccine. For the childhood vaccines, the program is pretty good. It's paying 75% of the claims relatively promptly. For the COVID vaccines, the program Congress created is a black hole secret program, which has paid nobody as of today.
But those aren't really the same as, like, if I got the vaccine and I was injured and I wanted to sue the government and they didn't make it liable, so the government could be sued also with the manufacturer. I could get way more money than a compensation program where they give me they give me a settlement deal. They don't give me, which is going to be reasonably smaller. I mean, not even reasonably, majorly smaller. So
you can't sue the government as a general matter. I hate to say this, but we have the doctrine of sovereign immunity, which says the king can do no wrong. Oh. So unless the federal government passes a statute which says you can sue us, you can't do it. So you can't sue the federal government in this context. You can only go to the federal government's compensation programs to try to get compensation from them. You can't sue the federal government unless they waive their sovereign immunity, and they haven't for these type of vaccine injuries. So you can't sue them.
Do you ever get, just with your line of work, do you ever get criticisms for the things that you do because people put you in a certain category?
Sure, from both sides. But again, I've spent my career representing people who've been injured by vaccinations. Yeah. You know, so some people don't like that.
But you're not anti-vax. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, we definitely probably disagree on a couple of things, but I think majority we care about the general direction of people, and we care that they move forward depending on whether our vaccine differences may be aside. Like I said, I'm not all anti-vax. I'm not at all in any slight chance. I just think there's not a big enough study or causation to prove that these things aren't just without harm. Like we said, there's nothing without harm in this world. I just don't think they're as effective as they said they were. But I just, with criticisms for you, for instance, I just, when you read what you do, for instance, just put it on a job title. When you say you have criticisms from both sides, what are some like things that people say? Is it because people put you in a category that you are anti-vax and the other side puts you into a fact that you don't know? Like, where does that come from? How do you get from both sides? Usually it's just one.
Well, I think some people would have criticized me, you know, for my general perspective that while we must recognize that vaccines do cause injury to a small number of people, there are many people who don't agree with my overall perspective that, in fact, vaccines are highly desirable, that it's very important that people are vaccinated, that the risks of being unvaccinated are so much greater than the risks of the vaccine will cause injury, that and especially my perspective that I'm in favor of mandates, that, you know, and many people, you know, feel strongly against that, that we're infringing their liberties and their personal freedoms in America. I feel the opposite. I feel that, as we've discussed earlier, that as a general rule, Americans should be able to do whatever they want, and the federal government should not come in and tell you you can't do this or you have to do that. As a general rule, that's un-American. But I would make an exception for vaccines, where the evidence we have to date establish that the benefits are so much greater than the risks, that I'm in favor of vaccine mandates. And I think we should force Americans to be vaccinated, and where appropriate, to wear masks. Maybe that's lessening now. I'm in favor of those type of mandates, that, you know, that your freedoms are not 100% absolute. And when it comes to protecting your community and ultimately America, we can force people, we should force people to be vaccinated, and where in appropriate situations, wear masks. Again, that's lessening. And maybe mask mandates are being eliminated, but I'm in favor of mandates to say that, you know, you don't have the freedom, you shouldn't have the freedom to not get the polio vaccine or the smallpox vaccine and threaten, you know, your community with these dreaded diseases. And over 100,000 Americans have died from COVID. So this is not some minor little blip. So I've gotten criticisms for my strongly held view that mandates are right, and they are one of the narrow exceptions to the freedoms that we must insist upon. That's why we love America. It's what America stands for from the very beginning, the freedom from government intrusion on your lives. And it's like what I said earlier, that I was involved with litigation to recognize up in the Supreme Court of Alaska the right of an adult to smoke and possess marijuana in the privacy of the home. I think those rights are important. You know, the right to an abortion, for example. Why do we have the government telling us or making it a crime to get an abortion? So that's my philosophy. And I think it also, but I would make an exception to where you need it to protect the public health of the community. And while it's not 100% perfect, and while some people will be injured by it, and we should look after them with a good safety net, I'm in favor of mandates. So I've been criticized for that, and I can understand the other point of view, but again, I have always felt strongly that those are desirable in terms of protecting the public health of America, and that we should put up with, you know, that kind of restrictions on our liberty to protect the community, just like we did 100 years ago for smallpox, and we eliminated that. You know, some people said, you know, why should you force me to get a polio vaccine? Why should you force me to get a smallpox vaccine? And we said, you know, even though we know a few people will be harmed by it, and they were, the great majority of the community is protected, and we've eliminated from the American scene polio, smallpox, and these other dreaded diseases by vaccinating the population. So I would say, yes, we should be able to, we should force people, mandate people to be vaccinated. And some people, you know, strongly disagree with that, and I can understand it.
Are other countries having better programs in effect than we are? when it comes to vaccine injuries or just any type of compensation on that aspect?
A little, some of them a little bit better. Some of the Scandinavian countries have been better in compensating people. But with respect to the childhood vaccines, we've got one of the best. So I think it's a model for, again, the childhood vaccines, not COVID, which is in the U.S. Court of Federal Claims. I think we have one of the best compensation programs in the world. With respect to COVID, typically they're all pretty poor as of now, unfortunately.
I hate to be like looking at the positive light in a horrible scenario, but at least we're not like the only ones dropping the ball in that aspect, I guess. Kind of sucks though if you're in another country, especially with the amount of resources. America's a little bit ahead of the others when it comes to at least more of a chance of getting compensation, I would say. In other countries, it's probably a less likely chance. But if the programs are all kind of running at the same level, I mean, that just shows we're an area where we should probably be focusing, especially with the number of people that are getting vaccinated as well, too. You know, you should have compensation. It's a high majority of people out there that just feel like they don't have a voice, in a sense. Peter, it's been a pleasure chatting with you, man. I'm glad, because I like your perspective as well, too. Like I said, man, as much as it kind of seems like a little, we disagree on some things, it's good to talk about these things as well, too. You know, it's no harm in conversation. I appreciate you for doing my show as well, too. Is there a place where people can find any of your links? You gave a lot of shout outs earlier. I'm hoping that you remembered some of your own personal sites to be able to write down as well, too.
Well, I mean, if you go to Peter H. Myers, M-E-Y-E-R-S on the internet, you can look at my bio at GW Law School and the types of things that I've done they can look at this program, which again is there, but I think deeply flawed. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Are you saying to me that YouTube will not allow you to put this on because they were discussing vaccination?
Yeah, if you look at YouTube's policies, you can't talk about vaccines, whether they're effective or they're not effective. You can't talk about masks. You can't talk about, there's a whole list of things.
I think you should push this with YouTube because we've had a realistic.
I've gotten one strike, and any other videos with another strike, I can't post for a week, and then it's a month, and then it's a year, and then you're banned for life. So I'm just rather play it
but
safe.
Even without posting it, to contact them and say, because this is a meaningful conversation, which is not full of misinformation or crap. You can't even discuss.
You can't mention the word ivermectin. You can't mention the word hydroclonal antibodies. You can't even mentioning the word mask. They just have it. See, YouTube, this is the issue with censorship online. And when you can't find anything about vaccines or vaccine injuries, they have roamers on the internet. And this is when I start to bring in a deeper question about this stuff, is that these roamers, from speaking with people who are Google leaks and people that expose the algorithms that YouTube has, you can't talk about certain things like the Las Vegas shooting, for instance, one of the giant popular shootings out there. They have over 100 something things that I pulled up on the show where it's just these, you can't, anything with those trigger words, they immediately flag the video. And then you put, it says it's an appeal or something like that. You can appeal it, but then they have a person that actually looks through it. And if the person, depending on, it's all linked into politics somehow, but it depends on whatever that person views, they go nope, and they just choose nope, that's a strike, and then your channel is flagged. So even mentioning, I can pull up the policy I think on here if you want me to.
Well, no, can't you try it another way? Can't you say
it's going on Spotify? It'll be on Spotify with video, but YouTube, that's just a no. There's no workarounds. I've tried with multiple videos before.
Okay, or even to some sort of process by which you can submit something, not put it on YouTube, but submit it for review and say, I think YouTube won't even tell some of the no-nos, but this is a fair and accurate discussion of it. Can I get pre-approval of that?
That's what I'm saying. You can't. That's the things you should be questioning. If you deal with the law and you realize how like shady some of this stuff is, you should be able to question these types of things, but you can't. There's none of that. I can pull up the policy thing right on here and show you it, but there's no workarounds. There's no submitting videos to them. They have to flag it first. And if they flag it, then you submit an appeal. They don't tell you what you did wrong. They don't tell you what you can edit out. I've had a full video where someone at the ending goes, and I don't think this, I know physically, that's the one of the things that's going to get them flagged, but even ivermectin or any of those words, depending on what the context is, it's just that word. It triggers them, and then the whatever the sensor is flagged. So it'll be on Spotify with full video, and on YouTube will be the first like minute. But then I'm immediately going to go to Spotify because they can flag it. Like Dr. Peter McCullough, he was on my show. He was pro, he's anti-mask mandates, all that type of stuff. I just put his name on the video thing, and it was 1 minute of him going, "I'm Dr. Peter McCullough," and then it cuts and says, "Go to Spotify." They flagged that. They didn't even look at it. They just saw his name and flagged it. That's how weird this stuff gets.
It really is. It really is.
That's when you should question things. Like, what happens if someone's trying to get compensation for an injury on this type of thing? They go and look up vaccine injury something. They're not going to get any results on Google. Wow. That should be an injury.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, that system seems just such a warped system as well.
That's what I see. That's what that's my only question with anything that comes with any of this stuff is just like, why isn't that open information? I don't like the skewing of information, whether it's other stuff like the CIA does it too. Like, we're protecting you. I don't like that. Like, what are we talking about? What's protecting? I don't know. I'd rather know the truth so I can be aware rather than make my own decisions, but I don't know. But I'll link everything in the description, Peter. It's been a pleasure.